Let's read together Amos chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. In this first half of Amos chapter 1, we have the introduction to the book and then Amos's prophecies of judgment against the nations of Syria and Philistia. Let's begin by reading verses 1 and 2. The words of Amos, who was among the sheep breeders of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. And he said, "The Lord roars from Zion and utters his voice from Jerusalem. The pastures of the shepherds mourn, and the top of Carmel withers." Let's consider a few background notes. The prophet Amos lived and prophesied in the 8th century BC. That's the 700s BC, right? Already, the United Kingdom under Saul, David, and Solomon had split into the Northern Kingdom of Israel and the Southern Kingdom of Judah. King Uzziah was reigning over the Southern Kingdom of Judah, and Jeroboam II was reigning over the Northern Kingdom of Israel, as we see in verse 1. The words of Amos, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. The earthquake mentioned here in verse 1 is also mentioned by the Jewish historian Josephus and has been shown by archaeological studies to have been about 760 BC. This same earthquake is mentioned later by the prophet Zechariah, another minor prophet. I'm reading Zechariah chapter 14, verse 5. "Yes, you shall flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah." So it was a devastating earthquake, causing the flight of many people. As I said, about 760 BC. So you can see Amos's date for prophesying is, 762, 763, somewhere in there, BC. We also see from verse 1 that Amos was from Tekoa. Tekoa was a village in the southern kingdom of Judah, not too far from Bethlehem. However, the ministry of Amos was primarily to the northern kingdom of Israel, as we'll see. So Amos was like a foreign missionary. He was from the nation of Judah in the south, but he traveled north to the kingdom of Israel in the north to preach and prophesy. Amos preached out against the social injustices that were going on in the northern kingdom of Israel. There was material prosperity in Israel at this time, but morally and spiritually, the people were bankrupt, kind of like our own nation. So I think you can see that Amos does have application for today. And the wealthy and prosperous were taking advantage of the poor and disadvantaged. Amos spoke out against these social injustices. Amos is thus known as the prophet of social justice. Does the book of Amos have anything to say to us today? Well, you better believe it does. Our nation is certainly guilty of social injustice and needs to hear the word of the Lord spoken through Amos. And we as individuals need to be reminded of God's view of social injustice. Maybe some of us here are guilty of the sin of social injustice. In verse 2, the Lord is pictured as a roaring lion that has been aroused. The Lord roars from Zion and utters his voice from Jerusalem. You don't play around with a roaring lion, right? The Lord is angry. And judgment is about to fall on Israel. The Lord is ready to move out in judgment from his dwelling place in Jerusalem. Remember, the temple was in Jerusalem. God's roar of warning is heard all the way from the shepherd's fields in the south to the top of Mount Carmel in the north. The end of verse 2, you see it. Now, rather than zero in immediately on the sins of the northern kingdom of Israel, Amos prophesies first against the sins of the foreign nations surrounding Israel, here in chapter 1 and in the first half of chapter 2. Now, why is this? Well, for one thing, these nations were guilty And God holds nations accountable for their sins, then and today. So there's certainly application in these prophecies for nations today, including America. Furthermore, these prophecies against the foreign nations surrounding Israel are called Amos's Circle of Fire. If you plot these nations and their capitals on a map, you will find that God is circling in on Israel with these prophecies, getting closer to home with each surrounding nation. The noose is tightening. Now, our doctrinal or teaching points for this first half of Amos 1 will come from the first two prophecies against these foreign nations, the prophecy against Syria and the prophecy against Philistia. So doctrinal or teaching point number one, God will judge acts of atrocity. God will judge acts of atrocity. Verses 3 through 5. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Damascus and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they have threshed Gilead with implements of iron. But I will send a fire into the house of Hazael, which shall devour the palaces of Ben-Hadad. I will also break the gate bar of Damascus and cut off the inhabitant from the valley of Aven and the one who holds the scepter from Beth-Eden. The people of Syria shall go captive to Kir, says the Lord. The expression for three transgressions and for four, which Amos uses in these prophecies of judgment, does not mean that these nations only committed three or four sins. No. It's a figurative expression for repeated and innumerable sins. The measure of iniquity was full, and judgment must come. Damascus had gone too far and tipped the scale. There was no escaping God's judgment. Damascus, of course, was the capital of Syria, which was north of Israel. Hazael and Ben-Hadad, mentioned here, were kings of Syria, and the valley of Havan and Beth-Eden were regions in Syria. The Syrians would be judged because they threshed Gilead with implements of iron. They tortured the people of Gilead by literally running heavy threshing sledges over their captives. Threshing sledges were studded with iron teeth or knives for threshing grain and obviously mangled the bodies of the victims when used in this horrible way. This literally took place. This was torture and atrocity. And this heinous sin would be judged. Syria would be judged for her sins. In 732 BC, the Assyrians under Tiglath-Pileser broke through the gates of Damascus, set fire to the city, and took the Syrians captive. We read about this conquest in 2 Kings. By the way, don't confuse Syria with Assyria, right? Syria was the nation north of Israel. Assyria was the world empire at that time, capital of Nineveh along the Tigris River, kind of where Iraq and Iran come together today. Syria would be then where Syria is today. I'm reading 2 Kings chapter 16, verse 9. The king of Assyria went up against Damascus and took it, carried its people captive to Kir and killed Rezin, the king of Syria. God judges acts of atrocity, then and today. If God were to say to America today, for three transgressions and for four, what one sin do you think he'd mention? I have little doubt in my mind that he would call for judgment on this nation for the atrocious acts committed against the unborn. God will judge acts of atrocity. Doctrinal point number two. God will judge the deportation of people. God will judge the deportation of people. Verses 6 through 9. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Gaza and for four, I will not turn away his punishment, because they took captive the whole captivity to deliver them up to Edom. But I will send a fire upon the wall of Gaza, which shall devour its palaces. I will cut off the inhabitant from Ashdod, and the one who holds the scepter from Ashkelon. I will turn my hand against Ekron, and the remnant of the Philistines shall perish, says the Lord God. The foreign nation under judgment here is Philistia. Four of the leading cities of the Philistines are mentioned here. Gaza, Ashdod, Ashkelon, and Ekron. What's the one that's not mentioned? Gath, right? Only Gath, Goliath's town, is not mentioned, probably because it had already been destroyed by King Uzziah of Judah, as mentioned in 2 Chronicles 26. The particular sin of the Philistines that's mentioned here is the wholesale deportation of Jews to Edom to be sold as slaves. Verse 7, because they took captive the whole captivity to deliver them up to Edom. Now, exactly which invasion of Israel by the Philistines that's in view here is hard to say. But this traffic in humanity was wrong and would be judged by God. God's judgment on the nation of Philistia came first at the hands of the Assyrians and later again during the intertestamental period. The Philistines are no more. God will judge those nations involved in human slavery and deportation of people. The sins of Nazi Germany are only one example of many examples that could be given here. Our own nation is not free of this sin. Think of our treatment of Native Americans in the past, for example. We don't like to think about this sin, do we? Who really owns the property on which your house sits? Not nice to think about, right? God will judge the deportation of people. What about practical application from this first half of Amos chapter 1? God may call you to be an Amos. God may call you to be an Amos. In verse 1, we read that Amos was among the sheep herders or sheep breeders of Tekoa. And in chapter 7, verse 14, we read, Amos says of himself, I was no prophet, nor was I a son of a prophet, but I was a sheep breeder and a tender of sycamore fruit. In other words, Amos was not a seminary graduate or a graduate of Bible college, something like that, when God called him into the ministry. Amos was not a product of the schools of the prophets that were already established in the land of Israel. The schools of the prophets, you read about them in the Old Testament, they were the Bible college or seminaries of the day. The beginnings of these schools went all the way back to the days of Samuel, and they were later further developed by Elijah and Elisha. The point here is that God called Amos straight out of secular employment to be a preacher and to speak out against the social injustices of his day. Maybe God is calling you to be an Amos. You say, oh no, I couldn't be an Amos. I haven't been to seminary. I haven't been to Bible college, whatever. Learn the practical application from the book of Amos. God may call you to be an Amos. We all need to be like Amos and speak out against the social injustice we see all around us. But maybe God is calling you in some special way to give more time and effort to exposing the sins of social injustice. Don't just sit there like a zombie. Maybe God really is doing that. You won't be popular, but God will bless you for taking the side of the poor and the disadvantaged and defending those who cannot defend themselves, including the unborn. God may call you to be an Amos.